Thank you for listening to News on the Hill. The time is 5:06. Andrew Stuckey here with you, coming to you live from the Trinzic Aura Studios at University Place. Let's get you caught up with your top five stories at 5 o'clock. Our top story is the weather, as we brace for Hurricane Ian. We've also got a lot of cancellations and postponements because of that weather. We hear about the social media surveillance done by UNC. Get a preview of the football game that is still on for tomorrow. And it's 5 o'clock, so of course we'll have Art Chansky's sports notebook. All of that and more coming up in the news. We also visit with Dr. Deborah Stroman, news director extraordinaire. Brighton McConnell will be in to guide that conversation with Dr. Stroman. And they'll talk about, well, pretty much whatever Dr. Stroman wants to talk about in the world of sports. So we'll see what direction they go today. We just got off the phone with Carrboro Mayor Damon Siles a little bit ago. And prior to that, we had a special Friday edition of Climate Thursday. We spoke with Duke climate scientist Ashley Ward, and as you might guess, the hurricane was a major topic of conversation there. You can find all those conversations in the News on the Hill section of chapelboro.com shortly after the conclusion of the show. For now, however, let's get you caught up on all these stories that are affecting our community this afternoon, and we start, of course, with the weather. Hurricane Ian continues to make its way toward North Carolina. It made landfall in South Carolina just about 3 hours ago. We are under a tropical storm warning all day today, and the situation is expected to get worse as we start to transition into the evening hours. We still have a lot of rain in front of us and a lot of heavy winds. We had lots of cancellations today, of course. No schools were in person. Some were virtual, and some just canceled school entirely. And we also continue to closely monitor the weather and our power outage situation. So we'll take a closer look at the power outage map in just a moment. But for now, just a little over an hour ago, I visited with the National Weather Service to get the latest on our forecast. So we'll hear now from Mike Strickler from the National Weather Service in our conversation a little over an hour ago. We are joined on the phone now by Mike Strickler from the National Weather Service in Raleigh, and he's going to give us an update on our current situation with the tropical storm. Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Hope you are.
I'm doing well so far. What are we looking at as we progress this afternoon into this evening?
We'll see continued rain increasing in intensity through the rest of the evening. So far, around the Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill area, about 1 inch of rain has fallen on average, a little bit higher, closer to 2 inches over toward Goldsboro. And those higher totals will be continuing to spread west again across the Triangle region through the rest of the evening and early part of tonight. We'll be looking at storm total rainfall amounts for most folks between about 3 and 5 inches. And the wind is, as you probably noticed, picking up out there. We've already had a 59-mile-per-hour wind gust down at the Laurinburg-Maxton Airport and a 55-mile-per-hour gust at Fayetteville. Up toward the Triangle, those gusts have been a little bit weaker thus far, generally between about 35 and 40 miles per hour. But we anticipate those gusts to increase also through this evening, and we'll probably see some gusts between 40 and 50 miles per hour even around the Triangle through the rest of the afternoon and this evening.
And how long does this last? When do you think it'll start to taper off?
So things should start to diminish both with respect to the rain and the wind late tonight into early tomorrow morning. So most of the heavier, steady rain will be ending while most folks are sleeping sometime overnight between midnight and 6 a.m. And we may have some periods of very light rain or drizzle tomorrow morning, but for the most part, most of the accumulating rainfall will certainly be done before sunrise. And then the wind will likewise gradually diminish during the overnight hours and certainly by tomorrow.
Any advice for folks who have to be out and about this afternoon and this evening?
If you have to, just take it easy, leave extra following distance between yourself and the car in front of you, maybe reduce your speed. Water will be accumulating, particularly in the low-lying areas, so risk of hydroplaning certainly increases. There is a flood watch still in effect, and as those higher rainfall totals start to materialize, we'll probably see some degree of flooding. We're not anticipating any widespread flash flooding, but certainly there could be some deeper water on area roadways, that sort of thing. So just be alert for those areas of standing water and potential road closures, that sort of thing. Turn around, don't drown.
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Mike Strickler from the National Weather Service in Raleigh with our latest update on what will be happening with Hurricane Ian, hopefully Tropical Storm Ian, by the time we see the bulk of it. We've gotten a lot of rainfall today. We've had fairly consistent gusts of wind, and we are starting to see the results of that come up in the form of power outages. The most immediate place that we're seeing those outages right now are in the southern portion of Chapel Hill. We're looking at about 600 people or so near the Columbia Avenue interchange with 15501. That neighborhood, seeing a lot of folks without power there. We're also seeing some folks in spotty areas in northern Chapel Hill without power. Then as you start to head south, things get significantly worse. We've got about 700 people north of Farrington Village. We've got about 500 people near Briar Chapel. I don't think it's actually affecting Briar Chapel, but near Briar Chapel, a whole bunch of people out. Then Pittsburgh is really feeling it right now. We've got about 600 people on the east side of town, 2,000 people on the east side of town, and about 600 on the west side of town without power. There's an outage stretching from Pittsburgh all the way to Jordan Lake, the whole C4th area. And then Siler City is getting it as well. The area between Siler City and Pittsburgh, basically nobody has power. And then if you go a little bit north of there in the Saxapahaw area, we're seeing about 3,000 people in that area. So the power outages just keep piling up every time the map refreshes. Lots of downed trees starting to come up also on social media. So please continue to be very careful. Take it slow. Don't try to drive through any kind of high water. Of course, with all these power outages and all this rain and wind forecast, we've got a lot of cancellations and postponements. Schools obviously did not have in-person classes today. We also had some non-essential services from county governments shut down. No solid waste services, recycling not collected. The movie in the park tonight, Sonic 2, will not be shown. That should be obvious, but still good to get it out there. There is a 10K race in Carrboro tomorrow that has been canceled. The Freedom House Recovery event that was supposed to be today has been rescheduled for next Friday, October 7th. We heard from state officials yesterday who shared requests and tips for North Carolinians to be prepared for Tropical Storm Ian. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell has the details.
With predicted flooding and potential landslides from heavy rains, as well as the chance for tornadoes and strong winds throughout Friday, Governor Roy Cooper had an urgent message to North Carolinians.
I want to be clear. This storm can still be dangerous and even deadly.
Cooper said many residents remember the destruction Tropical Storm Fred brought to western North Carolina just more than 1 year ago, as that extreme weather and resulting damage killed six people. When responding to a question about whether Hurricane Ian's devastation in Florida affected his state's planned response, Cooper said at this point, North Carolina is well aware of the threats extreme weather can bring.
We know that these storms can be unpredictable and their strength can be so impactful. We know the plan, unfortunately, here in North Carolina. We have a lot of experience having gone through these storms. And so I think we are ready across the board.
To help respond, the governor issued a state of emergency due to the storm on Wednesday. The measure allowed North Carolina Emergency Management Director Will Ray to get down to work, coordinating with many departments, organizations, and teams across the state. On Thursday, Ray said there were hundreds of personnel stationed at the emergency center in Raleigh and at facilities in the mountains, Piedmont, and coastal areas.
That is the strength of the state emergency response team. All those organizations working in partnership, collaborating to make sure we can get the right resources to our local communities when they're needed.
Transportation Secretary Eric Boyett urged North Carolinians to avoid unnecessary travel during the storm. He said between the chances of road flooding and damage, several NCDOT teams will be at the ready for roads to be cleared once it's safe.
We will work to get our roads open swiftly as possible using our contract partners as needed. Safety is always our number one priority, and we want to make sure everyone stays off the roads in the storm-affected areas. Please don't drive through roads with standing water. Turn around, don't drown.
The governor also suggested people assemble or double-check their emergency kits. They're a key resource for residents who may either be stuck in one location, lose power, or need medical attention. Cooper suggested some additional items to add into those kits.
It's a good idea to have multiple ways to receive emergency information, like a battery-powered radio or a cell phone, so you can receive storm weather watches and warnings. Need to gather emergency supplies like non-perishable food, water, and flashlights in case you lose power.
For more emergency and storm resources from the state government, Orange County, and the Red Cross, you can head to chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Thank you, Brighton. You can find a print version of that story by visiting chapelboro.com, and you can go to readync.gov for suggestions on how to assemble an emergency kit. Time's now 5:17. We're going to step aside for some words from our community partners, and then we'll come back with a check of traffic and weather together. We'll look at sports, and then coming up at the bottom of the hour, it's Brighton McConnell and Dr. Deborah Stroman talking sports as well. Stay tuned for all that and more on News on the Hill. Time is 5:20. Thank you for listening to News on the Hill. Andrew here with you on this hurricane-soaked Friday afternoon. It's time for another check of traffic and weather together. And our traffic situation is mostly good because people are taking the reasonable advice to not be out on the roadways. We are seeing a big slowdown as people merge into one lane at the Franklin and Fordham split. And we're seeing a couple of other spots that are probably due to some downed trees that are a little bit out of the ordinary, just some smaller surface streets. We had a big incident on South Columbia earlier that is responsible for a power outage and likely had the road closed for a bit as we saw a big traffic delay there. That is kind of opened up now, so they must have gotten that area cleared. Also seeing a little bit of a delay on North Carolina 86. But for the most part, traffic looking good as folks are staying home. If you are out on the roadways, we do have an increased risk of flash flooding and of downed trees. So take it a little bit slow and make sure you are extra vigilant as you are out driving around. As for that weather forecast, of course, things are variable as we go forward as the tropical storm makes its way toward us. However, at the moment, the forecast is looking pretty forgiving, honestly. Got a little less than an inch of rain still to come this evening. And then tomorrow, no rain as of right now predicted. Cloudy skies, high of 67. Pretty good day for some college football, honestly. Then we get a little bit more rain back on Sunday. Then we clear up on Monday for a pretty decent temperature throughout the week. Looks like a nice Piedmont fall week with highs in the low 70s and mostly sunny skies. Lots going on in sports that is weather-related. The first is that there was supposed to be a men's soccer game tonight, and that has been postponed. They were going to be taking on defending national champs Clemson in a big game. They've moved that game to Monday at Dorrance Field. They'll start at 3:30. That means Tuesday's game against Elon has been canceled and will not be made up. Also, live action with Carolina basketball was scheduled to get started at 7:30 this evening down at the Smith Center. That will now be moved to next Friday, October 7th. There are still several competitions going on forward, though. UNC Swimming and Diving is in progress right now. They're taking on Queens as we speak. Volleyball is about to get started at 6 o'clock tonight against Miami. They'll be playing the Hurricanes while we wait the hurricane. Volleyball team also plays again on Sunday against Florida State. Women's soccer is at Virginia Tech tomorrow night, and field hockey is at Liberty Sunday. Speaking of Virginia Tech, the UNC football team will be playing this weekend. They're going to have their first attempt to bounce back from a loss this year. 3-1 Heels will begin ACC play this weekend when Virginia Tech comes to town. Hokies are 2-2 and coming off a tough loss of their own against West Virginia. And while the weather will dominate the conversation leading up to the game, Carolina still has a valuable opportunity ahead. 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe has more.
In a stark departure from last year, when three of Carolina's first four games were within the ACC, this season saw the Tar Heels open with four straight non-conference games. Though fans are still disappointed with last weekend's loss to Notre Dame, UNC head coach Mack Brown put his team's 3-1 start in perspective and compared this Saturday's ACC opener with the Hokies to last year's season opener against them.
We're probably where someone would have thought or ahead going into conference play. And then it's unique that we played Virginia Tech in the opener last year and got whipped and we're a top ranked team. And that kind of put us in a tough spot with a lot of negativity to start the season with. And really we're kind of starting the season with them again this year.
To Brown's point, despite UNC's loss to the Irish, the Tar Heels' standing in the ACC Coastal Division was not affected. Like three other teams in the division, Carolina is still 0-0. To move to 1-0, the Tar Heels will have to defeat a program which has had its number since joining the conference. Virginia Tech has won 14 of 18 meetings with Carolina since 2004 and 2 of 3 since Brown returned to Chapel Hill. In fact, Saturday will see UNC try to win consecutive home games against the Hokies for the first time since 1938. Last year's season-opening loss in Blacksburg is doubtlessly still on the minds of Carolina fans everywhere. But Virginia Tech has since fired head coach Justin Fuente, hired head coach Brent Pry, and changed much of its roster. UNC offensive coordinator Phil Longo said the Hokies might as well be an entirely different program.
It's different. You know, you play in this conference, and when the staff stay the same, you know, you kind of prepare and graduate and build on what you did against the team from last year. And with Virginia Tech, everything's completely new. I think there are a couple coaches on the staff that are still there, but the DC is new, the approach is new, you know, and some of the players are new this year. So addressing Virginia Tech this year is simply by watching this year's film and preparing from that standpoint, because it's really nothing like it was last year.
The Hokies' defense ranks in the nation's top 10, and the team takes pride in its strong special teams play. The offense has struggled, but is going against a UNC defense which ranks close to dead last in college football. Much like Notre Dame, Virginia Tech could use the Tar Heels for a get-right game. Defensive coach Gene Chizik would prefer history not to repeat itself. And though his unit's statistics are unsightly, Chizik said he is still confident in the group's dedication and remains adamant that better days are ahead.
Every day is a work in progress with the coaches. Every day is a work in progress with the players. But one thing that is great and 100% true is everybody's all in, and we're all in this together. And we as a group understand that nobody's been happy with any of these performances. But that's what football is, right? You got to man up and go out there every day and try to improve and get better. And as long as everybody's in on that, then we'll always have a chance to improve, and we will improve.
With the remnants of Hurricane Ian likely to drop significant amounts of rain over North Carolina this weekend, it's hard not to think about UNC's 2016 meeting with the Hokies in Keenan Stadium. Under a downpour caused by Hurricane Matthew, Virginia Tech dominated Carolina 34-3 on their way to a Coastal Division crown. Fans have understandably expressed concern about this weekend's weather, but Brown said the game will go on as scheduled.
We're not concerned about it. We're concerned about the people in the path of the storm, obviously, but it doesn't look like it's going to affect our game at all, except maybe it will be more windy than our normal days. We have not had any conversation because right now I don't feel like they feel like the storm's headed this way.
The weather won't be pleasant, but both teams have to play in it, and the game is a critical one for the Tar Heels' aspirations this season. If UNC wants to at least temporarily silence its critics and potentially cool down Brown's seat, they need to win on Saturday, rain or shine. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
Thank you, Michael. You can find a print version of that story at chapelboro.com. And we're going to hear from some of our community partners. This hour, sports is brought to you by Town Hall Grill. We'll hear from them, and then it's time for Mr. Art Chansky and his sports notebook. Stay tuned for more news on The Hill.